Welcome to Seeds Church Podcast. Well, it's a brand new year and we're kicking off 2020 with something a little different. A brand new series called Whose Kitchen Rules. So wherever you're listening, we hope you're inspired by this week's message.
Good morning, everyone. Rod Dyson's my name, a member of the staff team here, and it's my pleasure to welcome you today as well. I hope you've had a good January. And you're looking forward to what this year brings, and we'll certainly be feeding into that today. Believe it or not, this is the last Sunday, the last sermon on Whose Kitchen Rules. I'm wondering whether you remember all the ingredients. First week, ginger beer. So I had to teach Jonathan. He was a bit slow learner, but he got it in the end. I've bottled 20 litres of ginger beer, which I'll bring next week. I think I'm going to open one on Saturday night just to make sure, but it should be fine. But you may remember that Jonathan talked about putting some crazy ingredients in ginger beer and then asking, what would that be like? And of course, it would spoil it. And so he's saying to you, what are you putting into your life this year? Choose wisely, because it affects who you are and also affects other people. And then we had bread, and we had people in each aisle here making bread, and then we had fresh bread to eat outside, and this sense that the yeast changes the whole dough. And when you allow the Spirit to change you, you impact others too, and you begin to change who they are. Last week, sausages. I missed out on sausages because I had a week's leave, but Jonathan was saying, in our society, people tend to look at the outside and they judge people according to what they look like, whereas God looks on the inside. And it matters who we are on the inside. And we have a choice about who we are, whether we let the Spirit work in us. And so it turns out that what you put into your life determines the outcome and also determines your impact on other people, whether you help them to see Jesus by who you are. So today we're going to look at a couple of things about what we can do to change who we are. And so our last food group, actually I believe someone announced this last week, but for those of you who don't know, I want anyone who does know, don't tell them. We'll show in due course. Let me start this way. That's a few years ago, we brought a certain German brand of washing machine. Being a German brand, it was a bit more expensive. We thought we were making a wise stewardship decision. You get a better machine, it lasts longer, doesn't it? After 6 years, the main drive bearing on the washing machine went. So I rang up the repair. There were designated repairers. I rang one of those, and then we had a discussion on the phone about what would be involved in repairing the machine. You will know the story if you've had people come. There's a really significant call-out fee just to get them to even turn up. Then the part itself was going to cost a stack of money. And then labour was going to be charged according to every 15-minute block. So I said to the woman on the phone, who was the receptionist, I was very polite with her, I said, so what would that add up to in my case if it's the main bearing? So she went through, this is what it would be. I knew what the cost of a new machine was. To get this one fixed, to get a new bearing put in it, would be $100 less than buying a new machine. What would you do? What would you do? Would you spend that money and have an old washing machine with a new bearing? Or would you get a new machine? Okay, so now you know what food we're cooking today, don't you? Correct. You got it? Bailey's got it. He's been here before, washing machines. I can remember a time, and I admit that I'm older than some here, and some of you won't know this time, but I remember a time when it was cheaper to repair something than it was to buy a new thing. I can remember a time when companies were really proud that their machines lasted longer than other people's. And I can remember a time when something broke, the first thing you would do would be to try and fix it, not replace it. My father, for example, had a shed. It's a reasonable-sized shed. And every horizontal surface on that shed was about 7 layers deep. And in there was everything that he had taken out of something he couldn't use anything use again, or something he had found. The weird thing was that if he said, "I need such and such," he could go into that shed and amidst that extraordinary mess, he would just pick out the thing you wanted. And why did he do that? Do you know what the expression would be? Why did he have all that stuff? Because you never know when you might need it. That was the way it was. And we know that that current pattern of, you know, now of throwing things away is in other areas of our society. I was reading during the week from the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization. They estimate that 1.3 billion tons of food is thrown away every year. That's enough to feed 2 billion people. Do you know how many hungry people there are? 800 million. So we could knock that on the head and have no one hungry in our world if we were careful with the food. And of course, for some places in the world, and we would be in that category, food is relatively cheap and relatively easy available. And so one of our responses to that statistic might be that we're more careful with the food we buy to make sure we eat it and don't waste it. And I know there are some organisations that help with that too. The point of these two stories is to highlight that we live in a throwaway society. In some ways, the consumer market depends on us buying new things. And I've heard at times around Christmas time about how much people will buy, and then often about the housing market and how many houses are being built or not built. There's almost a desire that the consumption would increase greater than the rate of population growth, because we keep buying more and more than what we need. Throwing away things obviously feeds into that sort of market. But the same tone also applies to people in our society. And you will know that if you're not brighter, more successful, more beautiful, more fit, more famous, etc., our society tends to value us as less significant. And that's a pervading value in our society. So my strong message for you today, which I'll build on, is we live in a throwaway society, but we do not have a throwaway God. We've got one screen. That's good. It's better than having none, isn't it? Great recovery before with the screen anyway. Fantastic. And indeed, when we read the scriptures, we find there's an even stronger emphasis on those who are broken or lonely or sad or a foreigner, an alien in the land. That's where the strength of God's love is emphasised. And when Paul, in 1 Corinthians, a book in the New Testament, talks about the body of Christ, he talks about the least of the members being more valued and respected. That's the nature of the God we have. So God does not throw us away if we or others think we're not worthy. Indeed, God pays more attention to us. So what is today's food in the Who's Kitchen Rules series? Can you believe it? It's actually true. I'm not making it up. Lamington chips for Australia Day. This is a limited edition, so you need to get in now if you want to have it. So, have we got a volunteer? Who would like to walk this around? And then if you want to have a taste, put your hand up. Come on, where's the volunteer? I need a volunteer. Come on, don't be shy. Oh, here we go. Good on you. So just put your hand up if you want to taste one of those. If it's a really big chip, don't be greedy. Break it in half. All right? And of course, a golden rule of preaching is you never have two places of focus. So forget what they're doing and look here. Okay. Now, this is what we're actually making today. There we go. Someone said to me after the first service that, Rod, really you need to have a scripture from the book of Lamentations. Oh, that's a shocker, isn't it? Sorry about that. Yes. Most people attribute the origin of Lamingtons to Lord Lamington's chef. He was French-born, Armand Galland, And he was called upon to make some food when a whole bunch of people turned up that they, and they hadn't planned for it. So he had to go into the kitchen and think, what have I got in the kitchen? And so he found some stale French vanilla sponge. I thought, well, I can't serve stale sponge. What can I do? So he dipped it in chocolate and then added coconut. Impressed by that new food creation, Lamington's guests are said to have asked for the recipe afterwards. And apparently that version of history is supported in Lady Lamington's memoirs. So if you want to follow up and see whether I'm preaching the truth or not, go and find Lady Lamington's memoirs and read them for yourselves. Coconut was not widely used in European cooking at the time, but it so happened that Galland was married to a Tahitian woman and she knew all about coconut and had got some brought in. So coconut appeared on the Lamingtons. And of course it fits pretty well with Australia Day, I guess. Lamingtons are one of those recipes in our society where we use leftover things. And you would have seen probably on Facebook and other places after Christmas, there's all these recipes about how do you finish off your Christmas ham? How do you finish off your Christmas turkey? What do you do with your leftover vegetables? Etc., etc., etc. There's a whole lot of recipes about how you make, like bubble and squeak, how you use stuff that you've already cooked and it's been left over. We are focusing on Lamingtons today because our God does not throw away what appears stale or is not regarded as the best, but makes it into something new. There is no time when God says that we're too broken, when we've done things that are too bad, when we've not done things that God desires, or if we've never been in the presence of God openly before. God never throws us away. 1 Timothy says, God wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. I happened to read the book of Revelation the end of last year. And I discovered there again that even in that process of the final judgment, and it's really graphic in the book of Revelation, there's all this opportunity for people who have never known God to respond and come into his presence. Right at that last second is still there. God never wants to throw us away. Let me give you just another example of that, of the kind of difference in approach. Our prison system. One approach in the prison system is to punish people and lock them away. And a few years ago, there was a big debate about this in state politics. I don't know if you remember it. And there was a slogan that was used by the government of the day. I'm not going to tell you which government it was, but do you remember the slogan? Anyone? Rack 'em, stack 'em, pack 'em. And this was just used all the time in the press. And I was talking about people. In other words, put them in a cell and throw away the key. So that's kind of the throwaway society. But there's another way. There's a group of people that focus on reformation of prisoners. In fact, at that time, I was able to meet with the minister and the chief of corrections and some staffers. They were not interested in prisoners being reformed. No interest at all. The current rate of recidivism, which is the words used for re-offending by prisoners, in South Australia is 45%. 45% of prisoners re-offend, so the system's not working for them. So some people focus on changing prisoners to reform prisoners so they never re-offend. And that's not only better for the prisoners, it makes society safer and saves an awful lot of money. So the latest statistics I could find was 2015, and at that time, to keep one prisoner behind bars for 1 year, it's $110,000. So you imagine reducing your prison population by thousands and what that would mean for the money you could spend on other things. And of course, every person is worth more than $110,000. Our God does not want to punish people or lock them away, but wants them to find life and life in the fullest. Let's welcome our chef, El Mashmet, up for today. right. Are we ready to go, Will?
We are.
We are ready? Well, tell us, what is the first ingredient in making lamingtons?
Sponge cake.
Doesn't they look good?
Baked in a lamington tin.
Yeah. And now you're going to tell us some secrets too, aren't you? Tell us about this paper. Because we've all got baking paper, but what have you done?
This was my trick from the first service. I'm a very lazy baker because I do large amounts. I don't like to take extra steps. So instead of measuring out my baking paper and folding it to fit the tin, I just scrunch it all up in a little ball and run it under a running tap of water. And it goes all sort of soft and floppy and fits your tin really nicely.
First lesson. There you go.
Cheats baking.
Yeah, even crumpled paper. You can use again. So when was that made?
Yesterday. So yesterday I made a whole bunch of cupcakes for a friend's wedding, and this I had half a batch left over of the sponge cake mix.
So the cake's already gone, but this is stale bit. This is the leftover from yesterday. So it's not as fresh as it could be. Okay. What's the first thing you've got to do, Will?
First thing you've got to do is chop up your cake so you can make lots of little lamingtons. So I've got some nice little squares here.
So you've prepared some earlier?
No.
Yeah, okay. Show. All right, so you've got a bit more cutting to do. Let me make a couple of points. So I'm not going to quote from Lamingtentations, but I do want to show you that there's something about God's character that you'll find all the way through the Old and New Testaments, and that is the desire for God to make things new. So let me give you a couple of readings from the Old Testament, from the Old Testament prophets. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Now, it may just be that at some stage in your life, you feel a bit like a wasteland where it's not going well, where you're struggling, where you feel dry and worn out. Well, this is saying to you, God really desires to come into that and bring a freshness and streams in the desert. Streams in the desert. Second one, I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I'll remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. So God is changing us from the inside out, making us new into a new being. And of course, we know that that follows or goes on, especially in the person of Jesus, in the new covenant. We will become a new creature in Jesus Christ. And then to go back to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 21, I'm making everything new, even a new heaven and a new earth. What an extraordinary thing. So the character of God is to want to make changes, to make things new, not throw them away. So first question, I'm going to ask you a few questions today. Do you want to be made new? I mean, whatever position you're in now, do you want some newness? Do you want some streams flowing out of you? And you can hear the sense of life in streams coming out of us. Would you like that each day when you wake up to find streams of living water coming out of you? What a wonderful thing. It's about your cooperation with the Holy Spirit. You see, in God's kitchen, nothing is wasted, but nothing and no one is left unchanged. Second ingredient.
Second ingredient is our chocolate glaze.
Woo!
So butter, cocoa, icing sugar, all the good stuff.
Okay.
Bit of milk.
Can I see if it's all right, just to make sure it's not poisonous
or something?
Here we go. Look at that.
Look at it drip.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Chocolate. A lot of sugar too, isn't there?
A little bit.
A little bit of sugar in there. So, okay, show us. And actually what we're going to do is we're going to put two steps together, because if you don't put two steps together, it doesn't work. But I will separate them here in a minute. So what are the next two steps?
So first step is dipping the sponge in the chocolate, getting it all nice and covered, and then into the coconut.
All right, just show us one. Just notice how she does it, so she doesn't touch the sponge. Isn't this totally hygienic?
Very neat.
Wow.
I know.
Shove it in. Look at, whoa. Look
so
at that.
Turning it around, getting every
in.
Edge covered. Give it a little drain.
Health food of a nation. Okay. Dip it in there too. And
then into the coconut.
Yep. All right. You keep going with that one. So day-old sponge is pretty bland. I don't know if you've had old sponge, but actually it becomes sharp in your mouth. You know what I mean? Where it becomes firm and almost feels like it's cutting your tongue. But when you add chocolate to it in the first instance, it becomes a whole new food group. Doesn't it? Chocolate always does that. It's a whole new food group. And you see, what this is saying is that God adds flavour to our lives and indeed changes who we are. God does not want us to make a few New Year's resolutions or to tweak things a little bit or change things a slight bit. God wants to change who we are at the core of our being. So just changing the drive bearing does not make the washing machine new. Just changing a couple of things doesn't make us new. But when God soaks into us, we become a whole new creature. And Galatians says, so in Christ Jesus, you are children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself in Christ. So it's like clothing the Lamington with chocolate, but clothing ourselves with Christ. So when we agree to God making changes in your life, you can become a child of God. You can become a daughter of God or a son of God, even a co-heir with Christ Jesus. How extraordinary is that? It's hard to even get your head around how amazing that is. But that's what we're offered by Jesus Christ. Putting chocolate icing over the top of the sponge changes the nature of the cake into something quite new. Do you want to be a new being? Do you want to be a daughter or son of God? Do you want to be a co-heir with Christ? Spirit wants to work that in you, but you have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. All right, third ingredient. So we've had a bit of a hint about this.
Coconut.
Make another one.
Beautiful. Some desiccated coconut.
Beautiful desiccated coconut.
Just
and
it tossing
sticks
it
in to the chocolate.
Kind of pat it down a bit.
So do you reckon she's doing a good job?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Shall we test if she's doing a good job?
Yeah. Do you want one?
Any volunteers? Okay, come on out. Come out. Well, you could have a chip too if you wanted, but come on out. Maybe break it in half. Is there someone else who'd like a half? Do you want to? Is that all right?
I've got extras.
Okay. Here we go.
I've got some little ones too.
Well, she might want a little one, though.
She might want a big one.
Do you want a half a Lamington? Yep. You're going to line up too?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh.
Thank you. Okay, now we will have these available next week, so. Good? Is any good? Okay. There we go. Let's have a look. See, you're the taste tester. Have a go. Taste it and see if it's good. Can you taste the chocolate? How's that? That's good. Wow, it's good. Good, good, good. So now we have a finished product. We start with a stale sponge. We add two things to it, and it brings a new character. What I'm saying to you today is not only do you become a son or a daughter of God, but when the Spirit is in us, our character changes. Our behaviour changes. We are seen as different people. It's not like Gordon Ramsay's Hell's Kitchen. Do you want that? Or do you want to be in God's kitchen? Because life can be like that. But when the Spirit works in us, it's a whole different thing. So in Colossians it says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Notice that. Clothe yourselves. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds things together in perfect unity. As we add coconut to the Lamington, it's like clothing ourselves with different behaviours. It's like putting love over every area of our lives. And I know Jonathan used an example a couple of weeks ago about Facebook. In fact, I think he said he'd defriended some people. You see, that when the Spirit works in us, we write different things in Facebook. We write different emails. We don't write angry, really critical emails. Or we can put the content there, but we are respectful and kind and we show mercy. So think about the areas in your lives where people would see what you are like. Some of that's going to be face to face. Some of it's going to be in social media. And we want people to read what you write and say, there's something different here. There's something deeply respectful and merciful and whole. This is what the Spirit will do in us. So the last question really is to repeat that again. Do you want that? Do you want the Spirit to work in you, to make you a whole new being, which not only changes you in this sense of living streams, but also the sense that living streams wash over others and bring them life as well? It's your choice whether you cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Let me pray with you. God, we know that you love us and that you deeply desire the very best for us. You desire that we know the fullness of life. We also know that love demands that we agree to work with you. I pray, Jesus, come with your Holy Spirit and renew us. Make us new. Increasingly grow us into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Because, God, we know the strange thing is that when we become more and more like you, we actually become more and more like we truly are. And we can say, I am who I am, and to be comfortable in that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.